You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. I am Allison Flitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by my friend and colleague, Thomas Harding, the beat writer for the Rockies for MLB.com. And Thomas, as we creep toward spring training, I guess we're about 5 weeks away. The Rockies have been one of the quieter teams throughout the offseason. And we kind of talked about the last time, and I think it's interesting because it's very difficult, I am sure, from a general manager's standpoint, to watch what's going on within the division and really do nothing. And there are specific reasons why he's not doing a whole lot. But how hard is it to not make a splashy move when the division rival were doing what they did? And I say that understanding that the Rockies offensively really did not need to do a whole lot. And for the most part, the other teams in the division that have really been going a little crazy with the move, it's been to shore up the offense largely. So, but has it been kind of weird for the front office, given that I'm sure the fans are getting a little bit restless?
Well, yeah, the fans are very restless about it, and you understand it, especially seeing the way that the offseason goes. But a lot of it depends on who's in your front office. And you have a front office led by Jeff Breidich, who knows the Rockies minor league system and understands the major league roster. It's not hard to sit there and say, hey, wait a second here. There are things that we need to do that other teams may not need to do, things that other teams needed to do that we don't need to do. They're pretty measured about it, and I know it's tough from a fan perspective, but I don't think that they struggle with that very much at all.
Yeah, it's really not as much fun to have our weekly Tula with you to the Mets trade rumor squashing when the Rockies and Mets could very well be maybe making another deal. So even though there haven't been any kind of offers between the Rockies and the Mets, but I think that Dylan Gee has come into the conversation a lot, and the Rockies could be interested. There could be a fit there. Do you see that as possibly maybe something that could happen the next few weeks?
I do expect that to happen, and it could happen pretty soon with Dylan Gee going somewhere in the National League West. The Rockies seem like a pretty good fit. Looking at it as the days have gone by and looking at the Mets payroll, it may not take a major league player to get Dylan Gee, simply because they would be out from under about a $5.1 million deal through arbitration, and they could reduce the payroll that way by taking back a prospect type that can be agreed on. So the question, if it comes down to that, is which prospect does a team offer that makes the Mets want to jump on the deal? But Dylan Gee has pitched pretty well within the division. He's pitched very well at Coors Field, and he's a guy that I know the Rockies have had a lot of interest in for a while. It's almost like at the prom, where you're sitting there and your friends are saying, hey, she wants to dance with you, and her friends are saying, hey, he wants to dance with you. At some point, you have to just get up and say, shall we dance?
I like the analogy. And, I'm looking at some of the other names that are still out on the free agent market that are pretty decent starting pitchers. Ryan Vogelsong is one. But even though you hear that, he could be a fit, he would be probably a terrible fit, I would think, for the Rockies, only because he's a fly ball pitcher with a 7 ERA at Coors Field. So I guess that would be a bad idea to be looking at guys like that. I mean, do they even spend that much time looking at fly ball pitchers when it comes to sort of adding that last piece of the rotation?
There's not much time spent looking at a Ryan Vogelsong, who is a perfectly good pitcher. I mean, you've seen him contribute to the Giants, but just his style at Coors Field, it's not a fit at all. I know that has come out in reports, and the best I can determine from talking to people that I know with the Rockies is, if that would happen, it would have to happen at a very low price, the right price, probably one that Ryan Vogelsong would not be interested in. And still, you can't get around the 7.95 ERA at Coors Field.
No, that's a very glaring number. That's not something you can attribute to bad luck. That's just a bad fit, I would think. So let's talk a little bit about some of the prospects that could help in 2015 and beyond. There's two really good, solid right-handed pitchers that seem to be coming up. and Eddie Butler and John Gray. So talk a little bit about them and where you see them fitting in, maybe in the near future or even maybe the distant future.
It's funny because last year those were the two names that were talked about quite a bit going into spring training. They had some impressive outings, but Gray had just finished being drafted the year before, and Butler really had a year and a half in pro ball. And it turned out last season they weren't ready, even though because of the injuries and the ineffectiveness, Butler ended up in the major leagues in June, got hurt immediately. Both of those guys spent last year learning how to be professional pitchers, which is different from college. In college, you throw once a week. You throw on, what is it, Friday or Saturday? And then after that, you don't throw till the next Friday or Saturday. To spend a year pitching once every 5 days and doing all the stuff in between is an adjustment. I mean, I go back and I look at, remember a couple of years ago when Gerrit Cole and Michael Walker were doing big things and people thought rushing guys was going to be the wave of the future? Well, last season, both of them had their issues health-wise, and that's what's going to happen when you're pushing young pitchers into the major leagues quickly. So give them some time, and I'm looking at Gray. Gray learned a lot last year. Maybe this is the year that he can make his debut with the team. He throws hard. He knows how to work hitters. There's a lot there to like about him. With Butler, I think that they caught some things before they got bad. If Butler continues to do the work physically that he needs to do to be a professional pitcher, I think you could see the velocity climb back up the way it was 2 years ago. It had dropped a bit last year. I mean, you want a guy who can throw mid-90s and sink the ball, that's wonderful. But when it drops down to 89 to 91, then you have questions. So hopefully both of those guys have learned how to be professional pitchers. They've learned how to work out. They've learned how to pitch when they don't have their best stuff, which I thought was one of the best things about Gray's work at AA last year. He didn't always have his best stuff, but he pitched pretty well. So those guys have futures. Does it have to be at the start of the 2015 season? That's one of the reasons why we're talking about Dylan G or some of the free agents out there. The Rockies really don't want that to happen immediately unless those guys just break the door down. But sometime during the season, can they help? And let's say that the lineup does well and they do well enough pitching-wise to be hanging around at midseason. Can these guys give a team a boost? Those are the things that you're looking at when you talk about Eddie Butler and John Gray. And there's another one, a lefty, Tyler Anderson, a former number one pick who pitched pretty well at the double-A level last year, had elbow problems at the end of the season, however. They think that being on a proper off-season workout routine will get him ready, and he may be a guy who figures into the mix at some point in the 2015 season.
And what about Chad Bettis? There seems to be the hope that he can maybe turn the corner and become a starting pitcher. Where do you see him fitting in?
Chad Bettis came up a couple of years ago as a starter, and I thought there was some promise there, but there was a thought on the part of the Rockies, should this guy be a reliever? He throws hard. Maybe he could even work his way to a closer role. I wasn't sure about that then. Then last season, he had a very impressive spring training, made the team on opening day in the bullpen, but just didn't produce at the major league level. Every time he went down, his numbers were pretty dominant. And toward the end of the season, they decided they were going to retrain him as a starter again and see if that works. I think that will be better for him. I think that his fastball and slider and changeup work better as a starter than as a relief pitcher, but we'll see what happens. He'll be given a chance, and he does have the arm. He's a former second-round pick, so it's not like this guy is coming out of nowhere. We'll see what he does. Can he contribute at the major league level?
And I want to talk a little bit about the Rockies have an upcoming anniversary that they'll be celebrating, and that is the 20th anniversary of the opening of Coors Field, April 26, 1995. It was very exciting. Dante Bichette hit a 3-run home run in the bottom of the 14th to lift the Rockies to an 11-9 victory. So none of this surprises me, especially the 11-9 score, which really set off years and years of the Rockies, you know, having extremely high-scoring games at their home. And the other thing that blows my mind is that Coors Field is now the third oldest of all the National League parks, which is just crazy. But because it just seems so new, it's so beautiful, it's so well kept. But how has Coors Field evolved? Has it evolved? It was the humidor a factor. Is it kind of the same stigma? I feel like the stigma is a little bit less than it was in the '90s, when of course we also had players who were considerably larger, and you put them in the thin air of Coors Field, so it's just like a minefield. But has Coors Field evolved in any way over time?
It's evolved a little bit. Back when the Rockies had a little bit of success in 2007 and 2009, what they did was let the infield grass grow a little bit. I mean, in the beginning, it was like an AstroTurf field. Not only did the ball fly when you hit it in the air, but it really took off on the ground because the grass was really short. They decided to grow the grass a little bit. It helped some of the ground ball pitchers. And, of course, the humidor, which helps the pitchers grip the ball better, has normalized it somewhat. What happens now is you don't have as many home runs, but you still have huge power alleys. So you have a lot of triples at that ballpark, a lot of extra base hits, and those are the things that drive up the score there. There are other parks where there are more home runs. I mean, I look at Cincinnati, and if Coors Field hitters are discounted because of their numbers on the road, gosh, what about guys in Cincinnati or Philadelphia or even U.S. Cellular in Chicago? The ball takes off and gets out of those places at a pretty high rate in many years, more than Coors Field. You'd have to look at those hitters the same way. So Coors, it isn't normal by any stretch of the imagination, but it isn't totally crazy as it was in the very beginning.
It's still a great place to watch a baseball game, too. So one of my favorite places in all of baseball. Thomas, thank you so much.
No doubt about it. They've done a great job of keeping that place clean and really upholding their responsibility of a stadium that they got a good deal from the taxpayers, and they're not screaming, we need a new ballpark. And I think that's something, yeah, the Rockies ownership can come under a lot of scrutiny for maybe not spending X amount of money on players, but there have been places that have had ballparks for less time, seen them go down and gone back to their cities for new ballparks. I think with what's happened here at Coors Field, you would have to say they've done their good job of taking care of a gift that Denver and the state of Colorado has given them.
Absolutely, and they are the nicest people in all of baseball, the people that work at that ballpark. It's like unbelievable. They're actually happy to see you, and they want to help, and it doesn't matter who you come across. They're just the best. It was always one of my favorite places to work over the years. So. Okay, Thomas, thank you so much.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.